and my fellow Pennsylvanians.
This state's electoral votes are key to who wins the presidency, and both of the candidates know it.
We win Pennsylvania, we win the whole deal. You know that. Just like last time.
But states like Pennsylvania are going to be incredibly important.
The only thing left on the board is Pennsylvania. The president cannot get to the finish line without the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
One state all four candidates are visiting today is Pennsylvania. Its 20 electoral votes are highly coveted, and the Keystone State could end up being one of the determining factors in the race.
Jill's a Philly girl, but I'm a Scranton girl.
We've had a lot of listener feedback since we spoke with State House Minority Leader Joanna McClinton. That's why today we're going to do a deep dive into the hottest State House races across the Commonwealth. Our guest, Trent Armitage, is not a Pennsylvanian, but his group, Forward Majority, is deeply invested in Pennsylvania because they realize that what happens under the dome in Harrisburg over the next 2 years could very well have national ramifications. So I'm excited to learn more about Trent's work nationwide and go into granular detail about several key races across the Commonwealth. Trent Armitage, welcome to my kitchen table.
Great to be here.
We're less than 2 months out. You're up to your eyeballs in State House races from corner to corner of Pennsylvania. But I think even before we plunge into granular details of the organizing you're doing, it'd be important to tell folks a little about your background.
Yeah, totally. So I am been in this business now for over 10 years. I got started in politics in Virginia and did a lot of my career there. I have a long background in state ledge. I was the Virginia House Caucus Director for a few years, including in 2017 when we made a huge dent and came just short of taking that majority. I also have spent time at House Majority PAC, which is the congressional super PAC for Democrats, and did that for a couple cycles and have been with Forward Majority now since April of 2019. So, you know, back to my roots in state legislative elections, which I think are just the most critical lever of power that we have in this country and often gets overlooked. And so I'm really excited to be at an organization that prioritizes and puts their entire focus on flipping state legislative chambers.
Well, I don't want to assume we have listeners from across Pennsylvania who are deeply involved in the political process and increasingly outside of Pennsylvania, but you know, your organization's been somewhat under the radar and has only been on the scene for a few years. So maybe take a few minutes and share with listeners, the genesis of the organization and its mission.
Totally. Yeah. So the organization was founded by a guy named David Cohen and Vicky Hausman, who are still our co-founders and presidents. And David really came up with the idea in a fever dream after the 2016 election when, you know, a lot of us in this business, you know, woke up and realized we didn't do enough, right? We didn't do enough to win. And I think he recognized that there was a gaping hole in the state legislative space. I mean, there were people doing great work there, don't get me wrong, but there was clearly a focus by the party to put money into national races, US Senate and Congress and president, and the sort of state ledge races were getting the short shaft. And so, you know, he was able to round up some key donors and a lot of that work went with Vicky Hausman, and they played in the Virginia 2017 elections for the first time. And that's where I met David and, you know, got to work with him a little bit as caucus director there. And then they went on to do work in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Texas, and Arizona. I think a couple more in 2018. I still wasn't here then, but, you know, they had a lot of success in a few states. And, you know, I came on board in 2019. We helped flip the Virginia chamber that year, which was great to be a part of that. And then in 2020, we expanded our efforts in key places like Texas, Arizona, made some efforts in Florida as well. And now here we look at 2022. We've obviously come out of redistricting. And I think we recognize that, you know, some of these maps are challenging, but there also, you know, were some surprisingly good opportunities out of redistricting, Pennsylvania being a key one. And so, you know, we are looking now at, you know, what can we do for the next several cycles to try and flip some of these chambers, hold some of these chambers, and, you know, make sure we have a lever of power. And I think a lot of people are waking up now to the importance of state legislatures. I mean, obviously, Roe v. Wade is, you know, the most glaring example of this. You know, it's now going to be up to these states and governors to decide, you know, whether women have access to make their own decisions. And I think we're going to see that coming more and more. I think, you know, Clarence Thomas alluded to decisions on birth control and gay marriage and, you know, other things in that decision. And, you know, you've got this potential independent state legislative doctrine case making its way through the courts, which could completely give state legislators the authority to overrule election results. And so I think, you know, the work happening at the state ledge level is even more important than it was a few years ago, which is crazy to think about. And, you know, as an organization, we're excited to be in that fight and, you know, trying to, you know, not just play in places like Pennsylvania and Michigan, but also in places, you know, that we think are long-term opportunities like Georgia and Texas and North Carolina. So we are a super PAC. We operate on the independent expenditure side, which means we don't coordinate with the caucuses and state parties. But, you know, I think that also gives us an opportunity to really define the contrast and define these Republican candidates that I think often, you know, get a free pass because, you know, voters unfortunately don't hear a lot of information about them and don't know what's happening often in their state capitals. And so I think our role as an organization is really to make sure we educate voters about, you know, some of these decisions that are happening in Harrisburg or Lansing or, you know, Austin, Texas.
Well, Trent, thanks so much for providing that perspective. And I just want to clarify for listeners, especially Pennsylvania listeners who are deeply familiar with David L. Cohen, our now ambassador in Ottawa.
Not him.
We've got a different David Cohen.
Yes. Our David Cohen.
Another Democratic operative. Yeah.
Yes. He worked on the Obama campaign in 2008 and has a long background in direct mail and different things. And he is our one of our fearless leaders and somebody who has a lot of background in campaigns as well.
So we're going to get super granular in a moment to focus on a handful of the races that your organization's investing a considerable amount of money and time. But I would just be curious, because you mentioned some of these other states that have legislative races this year. I mean, how does Pennsylvania compare when you look at the composition?
I think it's one of the
legislature and the organizing environment.
Totally. It's a great question. I see it as one of the best offensive opportunities in the country by far. I think, you know, I alluded to this, but I think we got some, you know, Democrats had a better redistricting environment than I think a lot of us predicted. Wasn't perfect. There was a lot of bad outcomes in a lot of places, but I think Pennsylvania was one of those that, particularly the House, produced a better map than we had in the last decade. I think we have amazing Democratic leadership in Pennsylvania that fought hard for a fair commission. I'm not sure that happened in the past. I wasn't there, but you know, those maps in 10 years ago were not that good. I think we now have a map that is much more fair. It really is not the gerrymander we saw back in 2011. And so I think it gave us a lot of opportunity here to pick up seats, even in what I do think might still be a tougher environment. And I think it gives us a very clear path to a majority, either, you know, this year or at least by 2024. In Pennsylvania, which is a huge, huge thing. And I think, you know, we need that in a state that obviously elects Democrats at the statewide level pretty frequently. You know, it's pretty terrible that we haven't had a Democratic legislature now for quite a few years. And I think we've got a real opportunity to change that. And it came down to strong leadership in the caucus. I give a lot of credit to the folks there that, you know, the leadership there that really made sure the commission was fair and balanced and produced a fair map. And I think there's a really good ecosystem in Pennsylvania too. I mean, you know, with labor, environmental groups, you know, women's health advocates, you know, there are, I think everyone recognizes the opportunity in Pennsylvania up and down the ticket. And I think everybody recognizes that we've got real races across the state. And, you know, I think we see that as a really good synergy with what we've got going on in the governor's race and the Senate race. And I think there's a lot of people, you know, rowing in the same direction this year, which is nice to see. And it doesn't always happen, right? I mean, I think sometimes Democrats get a rap for being disorganized. I don't see that in Pennsylvania at all. I think it's a really, really strong ecosystem and a really strong, you know, state party, state caucus that I see. And then, you know, the folks that work with me on the IE side are really great teammates and partners.
I don't want to assume that listeners know, but IE is a turn the
independent
start.
Independent
expenditure. Yeah. I should have asked you at the beginning, Trent, where's home originally? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Connecticut. I'm a UConn Husky fan. Yeah, so I'm originally from Connecticut, but I went to college in Southside, Virginia, little tiny school, and have lived in Virginia now for since 2005. So quite a long time.
That other Commonwealth on the other side of the Mason-Dixon.
It is the other Commonwealth, one of the four. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I know. I don't know. I won't get into the debate of which Commonwealth's better, but yes, I am. I'm a Virginian adopted.
Okay. So we have listeners all over, and I probably should mention there's 203 state house seats. It's a full-time legislature. And as Trent alluded to, Republicans have had the majority for quite a while. I'd encourage listeners to tune in to previous episodes, such as with the Democratic leader, Joanna McClinton, that provides additional perspective. But why don't we start all the way up in Northwest PA in Erie County? There's a race that you all are invested in and focused on. And, you know, I think as we go through these races, you can also maybe speak with some anecdotes of what it means to be invested and focused on.
Yeah, totally. You're talking about what is House District 3. You know, incumbent Democrat Ryan Bizzaro he is incredible. You know, I had the opportunity to talk with him a little bit before our firewalls went up. And, you know, he is just I think he has amazing constituent service. I think that the voters there recognize that he is a fighter for Erie, you know, but look, that is a part of the state that is in some ways trending against Democrats. You know, we've seen that at the statewide level. I feel pretty confident that you know, Ryan is going to hold that district, but, you know, it's going to require some help. And I think he'll run a really strong campaign, but we're excited to hopefully be there as well and supporting his efforts. You know, I think he's got an opponent who has a pretty far right record and made some decisions when he was in local government that I think voters need to know about. And so that's going to be a really key race. We need to hold that district and frankly, also a little better district, but right next door, HD2, another Democratic hold. You know, we need to hold both those to have a chance of the majority. So I think we're going to, but I think it's going to be a real fight.
Once again, I just don't want to assume I don't want to single them out. We have a lot of student listeners and folks that this is their first cycle that they're active in politics. So when you alluded to firewall, maybe you can speak to what you're.
Yeah, sure. So as an independent expenditure, there is a date in the cycle at which we are no longer able to talk to folks that are working for the state party or the House Democratic Campaign Committee or anybody else that's coordinated with the candidates. And so in every state, that law is different, but, you know, it ensures that the work we do is independent, thus independent expenditure from the candidates and coordinated side. You know, that's a pretty common thing at the federal and state campaign level and just, you know, gives us that make sure we're firewall is sort of the word that typically gets used.
I always liken it to two trains on parallel tracks headed to the same station, but they really can't
talk
to each other because they're moving so fast. All right, so moving fast, we're headed down I-79 into the Pittsburgh area, and there's an ER doctor that you guys are also quite excited about.
I think everybody's excited about Dr. Arvind Venkat. I mean, he is just an incredible candidate. You know, this is a guy, he's an emergency room doctor. I think, you know, he is somebody who can speak to the challenges that we may face if abortion protections are eliminated in Pennsylvania, which is a real risk. And I think he is somebody who people have gotten used to seeing on TV and taking advice. He was on local TV during COVID to talk about some of the mitigation efforts going on with COVID. And I think he is just somebody who's incredibly impressive. He has raised a very good deal amount of money in this race. It's, you know, it's going to be a very competitive race. It's a open district. It's essentially a new seat from what I understand, you know, from the new maps. And I think, you know, it's going to be a fight, but I think he is one of the best candidates we've got on the ticket this year in Pennsylvania. And, you know, frankly, I see him as a little bit of a rising star, you know, but we got to win this one first. So.
And he's a little bit different than another doctor who's on the Pennsylvania ballot.
Yes. Yes. I think that's safe to say. It took me a second because I kind of forget that he is a doctor even sometimes. You know, I'm not sure Dr. Oz's advice really is the best advice I would take from a doctor sometimes. So
in a race like that, where it's an open seat, that's obviously a very different strategy than protecting an incumbent.
Yes.
If you can maybe, to the extent you're comfortable, share with listeners a little of what Ford Majority's involvement in that race is like.
Yeah, totally. I mean, look, I think a lot of these races, you do have to make sure that you let the candidates know, I mean, the voters know where these candidates stand on key issues, right? And, you know, obviously, I've already said it a couple times, but with the fall of Roe v. Wade, you know, Pennsylvania Republicans have launched outright attacks on reproductive health. And, you know, I think that is a key contrast in that race that is going to be an important one. You know, but on top of that, you also have public education. You know, I think a lot of voters in Pennsylvania recognize that the state is not doing enough for public schools. They're diverting funds to charter schools, to private institutions. And all that means is that you end up paying more in your property taxes, right? If you live in Allegheny County and you want to have quality public schools, your property taxes have to go up to pay for that because the state isn't doing its job. The state government is not doing its job on that front. And, you know, we need leaders who are going to invest in public schools, to make sure that we're, you know, we have quality teachers, our class sizes are small, and, you know, we can also lower property taxes. And so I think those are going to be a couple things that are really important in that race. And, you know, I think we've got a Republican candidate there who has a long record of being against public schools, of being anti-choice. And I think, you know, voters are going to learn those things pretty quickly.
So speaking of quality schools, and in this case, a major internationally known research university, Penn State in Center County, there's a seat there, which, you know, obviously that's a several hundred miles away and radically different than the Pittsburgh suburbs. Maybe you can speak to that.
Yeah, totally. That's another seat that is essentially a brand new district, right, with redistricting. And, you know, obviously it's an anchor sort of right around Penn State. I think we've got an incredibly strong candidate in Paul Tkach, who sits in local government out there. He is a really strong candidate. I also had a chance to talk with him several months ago. I think he is the real deal and somebody who has a history of representing that community. And I think people recognize him and know him for his years of service there. The Republican is a guy who actually was chair of the Republican Party in Luzerne County out in Wilkes-Barre. And, you know, he tried to deny that Joe Biden won the election in 2020. He is one of these big lie supporters. He's one of these people who propped up this baseless conspiracy theory that Donald Trump won the 2020 election. I mean, these are the same, you know, lies that led people to, you know, to riot and storm the Capitol. I mean, you know, it's disgusting, frankly, that people would, you know, say those kind of things. And so, you know, he tried to not certify the election out there and, you know, was one of the leaders on that stuff. And I just don't think voters in a highly educated community like that are going to buy a guy and vote for a guy who would push those kind of conspiracy theories. And so I think we've got a really strong race there. I think this is a absolutely critical race for Pennsylvania Democrats. And I'm really excited to be in that district because I think it's one that we've got a really good shot at winning.
Hold up. And I'll admit I'm not familiar with the dynamics of this race, but it does sound quite exciting. Anytime we have these little blue oases surrounded by a sea of red, we're talking about State College, Center County, and then you alluded to the opponent being from Luzerne County, which is...
Yeah, he just moved. He moved. I don't know. I can't remember exactly when he moved.
But wow.
He moved.
Okay. So he...
Yeah. Yeah.
Road trip down I-80 for running for this seat.
Yeah. I'd have to go back and look at my exact notes to when he moved. But yes, he moved. He was the chair of the Luzerne Republicans in 2020.
So. Wow. All right. And then for listeners outside the state, that's not even an adjacent county. That's unique. Okay, well, we're up there and we're talking about I-80. We're talking about Wilkes-Barre and can't talk about Wilkes-Barre without Scranton. So there's a seat in Scranton also that you guys are focused on.
Yeah, absolutely. This is an open seat as well, but it's a Democratic protect in that it's, you know, but it's open. I think we've got a really good candidate in James Haddock. You know, he is a small business owner out there. You know, that's another seat that, you know, look, obviously the Northeast Pennsylvania area has trended away from us at times, but I think his, you know, down ballot has elected Democrats. And so I think we've got an opportunity to hold this seat. It's going to be a critical hold for us, you know, and I think we, you know, we feel pretty good about it. The Republican candidate there has a really extreme record on our public schools, you know, and I think diverting funds to charter schools and what have you, which I don't think flies out there. I think voters want strong public schools and they want lower property taxes, not, you know, not shocking. So I think, you know, we've got a really critical opportunity to hold a key district out there that for the, you know, Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area.
I should have asked this earlier, Trent. So, I mean, but particularly there where you have Congressman Matt Cartwright's reelection campaign. Certainly, you have the statewide tickets. You mentioned just your background working for House Majority PAC. So, I mean, to what extent are you, as an organization, cooperating with any of these other independent expenditures and you know, familiar essentially with the overall GOTV strategy that's being employed up and down the ticket?
Yeah, it's a great question. Yeah, we've certainly talked to our other partners on the independent side, House Majority PAC. As I said, I worked there for two cycles and know a lot of the great folks over there. I think obviously, yeah, the Matt Cartwright race is going to be a key one. There's also definitely some congressional races out in the Allegheny there to hold the Connor Lamb open district there. And, you know, I know there's a couple in the collar counties as well. So yeah, we'll coordinate with those folks as appropriate. You know, I think between them, those districts, the, you know, the sort of in the work going on with the campaigns themselves in these congressional races, but then also all the work happening with the Josh Shapiro campaign and with the Fetterman campaign, I think the GOTV turnout operation is going to be phenomenal. I feel really, really solid about it. I think our concern is always, and this is true in everywhere around the country, is making sure voters vote their full ticket. Obviously, a lot of the attention from the media will be focused on, you know, the U.S. Senate race and the governor race. And so sometimes it's hard to break through all the way down ballot, but we got to make sure that voters fill out that full ballot. Got to make sure voters know that it's really your state representative that's going to decide whether Pennsylvania has a constitutional ban on abortion coming up. They are the ones who are going to decide whether teachers get a pay raise. They're the ones who are going to decide whether road construction funding happens in your community. So, and that's really where I think our work translates from what the work happening up ticket goes down ballot is making sure voters know you got to vote. You got to stay in that voting booth and vote that full ballot and not, you know, drop off and just vote statewide ticket.
And listeners shouldn't forget that the much talked about Act 77, which has been a saga in recent years, has prohibited straight party voting. And I think we did see a lot of drop off in the 2020 cycle that folks went and voted for Biden-Harris ticket, let's say, and then forgot about all the other candidates on the ballot. Okay, we're going to wind down in Bucks County. And there's one more race that you guys are intimately familiar with.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I think, you know, I think it's safe to say that the majority in Pennsylvania runs through Bucks County. I think that is safe to say. We actually have a couple districts there that we're pretty excited about, but I think one in particular is the Palahniuk seat. We've got an excellent candidate in Brian Monroe. Brian Monroe is a former firefighter, former police officer. He's the current clerk of courts in Bucks County. I believe he's like the first Democrat to be the clerk in decades. He, you know, so obviously having had a successful win countywide in Bucks is really important. You know, he is somebody, and I think his background in as being a first responder, he's also a Navy veteran, I believe, and, you know, just a really, really strong candidate. I think that is an amazing background to have running for office. You know, you're somebody with a record of service, you know, to the nation, to the community. And then you've got this, you know, Palahniuk, you know, his district has gotten more Democratic, right? This is a prime example of where breaking up that gerrymandering comes into play. You know, you've got a district that now is much more competitive. We think it's a real opportunity. And, you know, Palahniuk's record isn't built for this district. Palahniuk is a very extreme anti-choice candidate. He's got a record of opposing abortion access. He just voted to place the ban on abortion in the Pennsylvania Constitution just like a month ago, I guess it was. You know, he has voted to allow extremists in the Pennsylvania legislature to nominate fake electors that could potentially overturn future election results. I mean, you know, he's also got a terrible record on public schools and has voted, you know, to drain money from schools and send them to, you know, unregulated private schools. I mean, this is the kind of record that is not built for a toss-up district. And that's what this district is now. It's a toss-up district. And on the other hand, we've got a guy who's a common sense leader in Brian Monroe. He has a strong background, as I mentioned. I think this is an incredibly, incredibly important race. And I think we've got a really strong matchup here. And I do think it's a really good example of where this redistricting can give opportunities, you know, that really weren't here 10 years ago.
Okay, so we've gone from one corner of Pennsylvania to the other, protecting Democratic incumbents, open seats, and then taking down Republican incumbents. I need to ask the question, how is all this funded? This is an organization I think many listeners are unfamiliar with, but you guys have had tremendous successes in less than 10 years. So give folks a little sense of what's behind the curtain.
Yeah, totally. You know, we are funded by a mix of different entities, right? So we're funded by grassroots donors. You know, I think that's one thing Democrats have been very successful at in the last several years is the power of grassroots fundraising. I think, and again, I think a lot of activists all across the country recognize that the state legislatures are the battleground for a lot of the issues they're passionate about. And so, you know, we've seen quite a bit of uptick in, especially after the Roe decision, you know, in our grassroots fundraising. But, you know, we're also funded by folks who are in California, in Boston, in New York City, in these blue cities and blue states that recognize that their rights and their ability to have a president that is voted by the people is going to be determined by these swing states like Pennsylvania and Michigan. You know, I think we've seen a lot of our donors in, you know, places like Massachusetts recognize that, you know, they're going to have a Democratic legislature there. There's no threat of it, right? There's no threat of a Republican legislature in California either. And so they know that their dollar is best spent in a place like Pennsylvania or Michigan or Arizona, because that is where, you know, a lot of these attempts to overrule the Electoral College or attempts to roll back abortion rights are going to be fought. And so we've been really fortunate to have donors from some of those blue states really support our effort and bring that money into states like Pennsylvania. And that's really, I think, a nice thing to do. And I'm really, it makes me really happy to see Democratic progressive donors recognize the need to go outside of their home area to win.
Trent, so final question, and thank you again for your time in the final weeks of this historic campaign. What's it going to look like? Voters can still register to vote. Is your focus that? Is it mail pieces? Is it radio pieces? I can't imagine it's television, but give folks a sense to the extent you're comfortable sharing the secret sauce for these final few weeks.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, voter reg, I'll say this. We actually just started up a voter registration effort here in 2022 and using partisan money, meaning that we target people that are likely to be Democrats. And so we're out there registering voters right now today. We have people on the ground in Allegheny County right now today, registering voters in some of the key districts around Pittsburgh. You know, we're also in a few other states doing that work. We also do voter reg by mail and online efforts as well, because we know it's really critical, you know, to get people registered. You know, a lot of people move and they don't realize they haven't changed the registration, things like that. And we do see people moving into these states. And so that is going to be really critical. And yeah, that's still ongoing. The voter registration deadline is still a little ways away. So we'll be continuing that effort up until the deadline. You know, but in terms of our persuasion efforts and turnout efforts, I think in a state legislative election, your best tools are going to be digital advertising and direct mail. They can be highly targeted. You know, you can actually target people directly to their mailing address or their IP address to some extent. And, you know, that really gives you an opportunity to make sure you're going after the most persuadable or the voters who need to be turned out. You know, I will say though, TV is often a really good tool too, because, you know, sometimes you get a cable market that overlaps perfectly with a state legislative district, things like that. And so there are opportunities to utilize television as well. And I think voters will see some of that. You know, it won't just be the statewide ticket. I think there'll be legislative campaigns and their allies up on TV here in Pennsylvania and around the country, really. You know, that is going to be really, really important. You know, and I think overall, I think we have a really, really strong, I think we're absolutely going to pick up seats in the Pennsylvania House. I don't think that's a question. I think the new maps are giving Democrats a chance to pick up seats. Absolutely. I think we have a really good shot to get the Democratic caucus within single digits, you know, here at the end of this election cycle, and then make a really strong player for majority in 2024. That's where I see things today. That being said, you know, every single data point we see nationally and in Pennsylvania shows Democrats continuing on the upswing. Ever since the Dobbs decision, we have seen polling look better. We've seen fundraising look better. So I don't think the majority is out of reach for 2022 in Pennsylvania. I really don't. And I would never have said that 4 months ago. You know, I'm not an overly optimistic person usually. So, you know, but I think this year has an opportunity combined with the new maps, with Democratic enthusiasm, with probably two of the worst statewide candidates on the Republican ticket in the country in Doug Mastriano and Dr. Oz, you know. And so I think we've got absolutely phenomenal opportunities to pick up seats and really have a shot at that majority. But at the very worst, I think we're going to take the majority in 2024. And for those who don't know, Pennsylvania is interesting because the legislature there gets seated in December, right after the election. And so what that will mean is if there are Republican shenanigans or attempts to overturn the 2024 election results, which I think a lot of people are rightfully nervous about, given what happened after 2020 and the stoking of those lies we still see, Pennsylvania is a state where taking that majority in 2024 can actually help stop those efforts then too. So I think we've got real strong opportunities, and I'm incredibly excited to be in the Keystone State to help Democrats there fight back and take this majority.
Trent, thanks so much. I really appreciate the time, and onward over these final few weeks.
Thank you very much. Great to speak with you. I look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Pennsylvania Kitchen Table Politics. Take a minute and leave us a rating and review on your podcast platform. Please also consider following us on social media for updates and announcements regarding future episodes and new guests. You're political, so I am sure that you're on Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram. We are too, at PA Political Podcast. Visit our website, papoliticalpodcast.org, and send us your feedback about this episode and suggestions on future guests. Until next week.